Good morning. Welcome. Good morning and welcome to Myerstown Church of the Brethren. And I'm glad you're all here today. And we're going to start with a prelude. Thank you, Barb. Welcome again, and today being Grandparents' Day, I'd like to give a special welcome to all that are grandparents, and it's also a reminder for those of you that aren't grandparents that today's a good day to let them know how special they are to you. As in our family, and like many of yours, grandmas are known for giving corny jokes. So I have a story to tell you that I thought would make you, it'll brighten your day. That reminds me of a funny story I heard the other day. This older couple was going on a road trip by car to visit their family and stopped along the way at a diner for a bite to eat. After finishing a nice, relaxing meal, they got back in the car and headed back on the road. They hadn't gone very far until Grandma realized she left her sunglasses on the table at the diner. Grandpa was not too pleased, as it was 10 miles to the next exit where they could turn around, and left her know of his displeasure. Now, that never happens in any of your families, I'm sure. Soon he became quiet. She thought this was a little different. And as they arrived back at the diner, she got out to retrieve her sunglasses, and he said to her, while you're in there, you might as well get my hat, too. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad in it. We're going to start with announcements. I believe Susie has an announcement.
Good morning. Next Sunday is Rally Day, and after church next Sunday, we're having a carry-in dinner, and that's in the new fellowship hall, so bring a hot dish and a cold dish. And also Saturday morning, if anybody could help at around 9 o'clock to set up tables, that would be appreciated. Thank you.
And Pastor Marty has some announcements.
Good morning. Good to see all of you here this morning. A couple announcements today. Rachel and I and Melissa and the boys will be leaving for vacation to celebrate Rachel's birthday. Rachel's birthday is coming up this week. If you want to know how old she is, just ask me and I'll tell you. Anyway, we're leaving tomorrow and we'll be back Friday. So we will be back next Sunday. And also, in addition to Rally Sunday, we're also going to have a prayer consecration for the disaster relief team. The disaster relief team is leaving here to go to North Carolina, so we want to have a prayer consecration to send them off. That's always an important thing to do. Just want to say our speaker, as we see in there, just want to say it's Mike Borden. Mike Borden was here for our evangelistic services a couple years ago, and for Sunday school. His wife, she's going to be giving a talk during Sunday school. For those of you who want to come for the Sunday school hour here in the sanctuary, you're encouraged to come next Sunday. And I believe that's all the announcements I have for this morning.
Does anyone else have any announcements? Rachel?
Good morning. Bible study will be starting up on September 23rd. It's a Monday at 7 p.m. We're going to be studying the book by Max Lucado called Fearless. So you can get the book if you want to and read it ahead of time. If you would just like the study guide only, it's $6. Just let me or Melissa know if you would like the study guide. Again, we're going to start September 23rd at 7 p.m. for Bible study. Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay, I think we'll start our worship time. Will you stand? Oh, sorry.
Sorry, forgot to make this announcement. There's a change in the special music. The special music is going to be following the invocational prayer. So the special music will be following the invocational prayer. And then after the offertory hymn, we'll have our morning prayer.
Thank you. Will you all stand and join me in the call to worship found in 2 Timothy 1, 2-7? Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did. As without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. I am Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Let us start with our opening hymn, Higher Ground, which is on page 171 in the Brown Hymnal.
pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, fill prayer as I'm more onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground, Lord, lift me up and let me stand, by faith on
Will you join with me as we pray the invocation prayer? Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I might not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. And now we'll have our special music by the quartet.
Good morning. Good morning. We're going to sing a song that wasn't sung for years in here, I don't think. Mm-hmm. It's an old song, but it's a great song that they sang years and years ago. Whispering Hope.
Soft as a voice of an angel, breathing a lesson on her. Gentle persuasion whispers her comforting word. Wait till the darkness is over. Wait till the tempest is done. Oh, for the sunshine tomorrow after the shower is gone. Making my heart in it. sad, weary heart. Come, O thou blessed hope of glory, never, oh, never depart.
Next song is Jesus is Coming Soon. How many believe Jesus is coming soon? Mm-hmm. The way the world is today, I believe that.
Amen.
Okay.
Troublesome times
are here.
Feeling man's heart
with fear.
Freedom we all dear.
Now is at stake.
Humbling your heart to God. Saints from the chastening rod. Seek the way pilgrims trod.
Christians awake.
Jesus is coming soon. Morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom. Trumpets will surely sound.
All of the dead shall rise.
Righteous meet in the skies. Going where no one dies.
Heavenward bound.
Love is so many cold. Losing their homes of gold. This in God's word is told. Evils abound. When these signs come to pass. Nearing the end at last. It will come very fast.
Trumpets will sound.
Jesus is coming soon. Morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom. Trumpets will surely sound. All of the dead shall rise. Righteous meet in the skies. Going where no one dies.
Heavenward bound.
Troubles will soon be o'er. Happy forevermore. When we meet on that shore.
Free from all care.
Rising up in the sky. Telling this wondrous world goodbye.
Homeward we then will fly. Glory to share.
Jesus is coming soon. Morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom. Trumpets will surely sound. All of the dead shall rise. Righteous meet in the skies. Going where no one dies.
Heavenward bound.
Thank you. When I was a delegate at annual conference, they did mention if we really enjoyed a song, we should give a strong amen. And I think a strong amen was good for that. All the children are now invited to come front and join Rachel for the children's story.
All right, my friends, come on over here. Let's come on up here. We've got some more coming. Let's try to make a big circle up here if we can, okay? How is everybody? Ooh, are we sleepy? Yes. Sleepy this morning. I don't blame you. How is school for those that are in school? Good? Okay. You liking it? Those that are in kindergarten? Yep. Okay, good. Second grade? Good. We got a first grade. We got pre-K over here, so yeah. All right, so besides Sunday, does anybody know what today is? I think Ms. Linda said it earlier. It's Grandparents' Day. So we have Father's Day, we have Mother's Day, and today is Grandparents' Day. It's always in September, the second Sunday, I believe. Now, look at this picture. Who do you think they are? You're close. They're not my grandparents. Who are they, Dan? Yes, that's your grandparents. This is Marty's parents, which would make it Daniel and Benjamin's grandparents.
So the Bible has some scriptures about our grandparents, or some people might say elders, and we're going to look at it in the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 32. Bless you. All right, repeat with me, rise in the presence of the aged, show respect for the elderly, and revere your God. I am the Lord. So let's look at that verse. What do you think that means? It says, rise in the presence. Now, did you know that sometimes, like some people in some cultures, if an older person comes in the room, they have to stand up in attention. Did you know that? And in Jewish days, they rose in the presence of those who were older than them. The word that I grew up was elders. That would be your elder. So would I be your elder? Yes, because I'm older than you all, right? How about Pastor Marty? He is older than me. You are right. Let's get him. Since he's going to tell everybody my age, let's get him. He is older than me. You are right. He's older than you too. That's right. Older than any of us. Oh, he's going even further, Marty. What about Grandpa Moyer? Is he older than Pastor Marty? Yes, he is. So he would be an elder, not just to you all here, but also to Marty. It says we're supposed to rise in the presence and give respect. Now, respect is a different word. But those that take karate, what do you do to show respect?
There are different things you do, you know?
Bow.
Yep, you bow to show respect. And what do you say to your black belt?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir, or yes, ma'am. Now, I grew up in the South, and I had a great aunt. If you did not say yes, ma'am, or yes, sir, she let you know that that was not a good thing. So saying yes, ma'am, and yes, sir to somebody, when they say, can you please go and get the paper, you would say yes, ma'am, or yes, sir, if it was a guy, a boy that was asking you. That's to show respect. And that's what God wants us to respect our elders, our grandparents, your parents. Teachers would be in that, right? So a shine of respect means you're honoring the Lord. Who wants to honor the Lord? I do. Yes, absolutely. And we can do that today with our grandparents. What kind of fun things can you do with your grandparents today? Oh, JC's going.
Go to Hershey Park.
Go to Hershey Park. Are you going to Hershey Park with your grandparents today? No, but that's a wish, right? What can you do with your grandparents today?
Probably go over to play with them.
Go and play with them. Yes, yeah, spend time with them. How about give them a hug? Say, I love you. Say, thank you for all you do for me, right?
Let them watch my soccer game today.
Oh, they're going to come watch your soccer game today. Now, that shows a good grandparent they can come and sit out there and watch you, right? Yes. Anybody else? Brayden. Play board games with them. Do you play board games with your Mimi? Yeah. How about your grandpa? Yeah? Sometimes? Okay. All right. Well, let's pray. Let's pray for our grandparents. You ready? Dear God, we thank you for Grandparents' Day. Help us to remember to give our elders respect the way you want us to. We want to honor you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you all can go have a seat until it's time to go downstairs.
Thanks, Rachel. And now I'd like to offer the offering prayer. Dear God, I offer you my praise. I offer you my heart. I offer you my money. I offer you my life. Thank you for everything you have given us. Amen. May the ushers come forward, and the children are now dismissed for children's church as we sing the hymn Rock of Ages, which is in page 137 in the blue hymnal.
I want to thank Linda Zimmerman for being worship leader this morning. And in your bulletins, there's a list of prayer, people we need to remember in prayer in your inserts this morning. Also in your announcements, this week we are praying for the Parker Ford Church of the Brethren. So we need to remember the Parker Ford Church in prayer. There's also an announcement in there about a member of our church, Sister Vera Hoffman, who passed away this past week. So keep the family of Vera Hoffman in prayer. Also, we need to remember, since the disaster relief team is leaving next week, we want to also remember the hurricane victims, particularly the ones who are in the Bahamas. Seems like they're the ones that got hit the most this past week with the hurricane. So we'll keep the hurricane victims in prayer. Let's all come before God in prayer. Let's pray. Oh God, as we come before you this morning, we humble our hearts, we humble ourselves before your holy presence. We thank you, Lord, that you are a holy God and that we can come to you at any time. We know, Lord, that there is nothing too hard for you, Lord. And we come to you, Lord, in faith, knowing that you're a God who is in charge of the affairs of the universe. Lord, as we read in the book of Daniel, we know of King Nebuchadnezzar, who was so powerful, such a powerful king. But yet God humbled him. And he recognized you, Lord, as sovereign God over the universe. And he also said that we can do nothing to change what your will is. So we pray, Lord, that your will be done, not only on this earth, but in heaven. We pray, O Lord, this morning for the many people who have destructive homes, destructive lives in the Bahamas from the hurricane. We pray, Lord, that they would receive the help that they need. We pray that you would give those families that are homeless, Lord, places of shelter. We also pray for the hurricane victims here in the States, where there is damaging winds and floods and tornadoes. We also pray that you would be with our disaster team as they prepare to go to North Carolina. We thank you for the gift of service that you have given these individuals. And help us to know, Lord, that there is always your work to be done. Lord, we lift up this morning the many people on the prayer concern list, ones who are facing health crisis, ones who have family situations that are difficult to control. We pray, Lord, that you would just answer these individuals, Lord, with the needs that they have. We also pray this morning for the Parker Ford Church, the Brethren. We lift this church to you in prayer, Lord, for their ministry, for the pastors, for the leaders of the church as they minister, and for the history that they have as a church. Bless that church, Lord, and the ministry that they do. God, we want to lift up our nation this morning, our country. We lift up our president and the members of Congress and the Senate as they lead. We pray, Lord, that they would seek your direction, that we, Lord, would truly be one nation under God, that we would seek your direction, that we would seek your will. We pray now that you would open up our hearts and minds as we read your word. For we pray all this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. In your bulletins this morning, you'll see an insert, a sermon insert that you can follow along that we're going to be looking at this morning. This morning's scripture text is taken from the book of Titus. The best way to find Titus is to go back to the last chapter, the last book of the Bible, Revelation, and just go back a couple books of the Bible, and we'll get to Titus after Hebrews and James. Down where all the T's are, the Thessalonians, and then we get to Titus. And we're looking at, it's a very short epistle, but a very important epistle. Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, the title in my Bible says, the qualities of a sound church. And one of the qualities of a sound church is to have leaders in the church. Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, and this is in honor of Grandparents' Day. Hear the word of the Lord. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine. Let the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience.
The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanders, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you. May God add a blessing of the reading of his word. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word this morning, which gives us instructions for living for all of us this morning. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to start out by giving some advice to all of our grandfathers today. How many grandfathers do we have? Raise your hands. How many grandfathers? Okay, we're not alone then. Well, I'm not a grandfather, but I'll tell you this. If you have a grandchild and this grandchild wants to run a race with you, don't do it. Don't do it. You're probably going to end up getting injured and worse, fall down. And I found that out, and I'm not even a grandfather, and I found that out. In case you haven't heard, I had an accident on Daniel's birthday party. We were celebrating Daniel's birthday party at the house, and he had a bunch of his friends over, and Daniel just loves running, having races around the house. So he challenged me, or I actually challenged them to have a race around the house. And as I went around the corner, went down the hill, and I pulled a hamstring and then I fell flat on my shoulder, injuring my shoulder. And so by the time Daniel figured out that I was way behind, he came around and he said to me, "Daddy, you're disqualified from the race." Not very comforting words. Today's message from Titus is all about getting and receiving advice. And the reason he gives this advice is to build character. And this is what this lesson is all about. It's about building character. You know, character is very important in our Christian walk. Character is very important. Plus, we're going to see that character is needed in as leaders in the church, as a witness. I want us to first look at the setting of this text, and if you have our Bibles, look at in Titus. Paul wrote Titus, and Paul is speaking to Titus. Now, who is Titus? Titus was Paul's co-worker in Christ. He is a young pastor, and one of the responsibilities that Titus had was establishing a church in Crete, the island of Crete, which was an evil place. If you look at chapter 1, verse 12, he says there, "One of them, a prophet of their own, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons." So Titus had quite a responsibility establishing a church here. Okay, so one of the responsibilities Paul gave Titus was finding elders. He needed to find elders in every city. If you look at verse 5, it says, "For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you." And so that's what made me think of grandparents, you know, honoring and revering the elderly. And they're very important also when it comes to leaders. Along with this responsibility, the church needs to have spiritual character. And that leads to this topic. Who does Paul specifically speak to in from today's text? If you see, there's four he speaks to: older men, older women, younger men and younger women. And he gives all of them advice. The old and the young, he gives them advice, instruction in building character. He begins by saying, if you look at verse 1 of chapter 2, "As for you, speak the things that are proper for sound doctrine." Now, it's interesting that Titus brings up the topic of doctrine, which is sound teaching, correct teaching. Why is doctrine important? Okay, well, as Titus would say, correct doctrine leads to correct behavior. Paul is saying if you have correct teaching, correct doctrine in the church, then your behavior and your character will line up with that correct teaching. It should, anyway. If you know the correct teachings of Christ in the church, then your behavior should line up with that. If you have correct doctrine and you don't have the correct behavior, then of course you're a hypocrite, which is a bad leader in the church. You must have both. You must have sound doctrine, correct doctrine, and also good behavior. Then Paul specifically speaks to the older men in verse 2. If you look at verse 2, it says that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, and patience. And I'm going to go over some of those qualities that Paul speaks about in your inserts. Now, first of all, when Paul refers to older men, he doesn't mention any age. He doesn't mention any age. So if you think you're old, well, then this would speak to you. I remember we were at a restaurant a couple weeks ago, and as I was looking at the menu, they always have, you know, the senior meals, but they didn't have an age about who qualifies for that. And so I asked the waitress, okay, do I qualify? And I told her my age, and she didn't really give me an answer. She basically says, you know, if you think you qualify, then you qualify. Okay, and that's really what he's saying here. Verse 2, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, and sound in faith. Now, let's look at some of these qualities. First of all, he means sober. Sober means that you must have self-control, self-control in all things. It means that you need to deny worldly pleasures. A cross-reference to that, if you want to write this down, is 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, where Peter says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." William Barclay, a biblical commentary, makes a good point about the senior man who is sober. And he says this, and I quote, he says, "When a man has reached years of seniority, he ought to have learned what are and what are not true pleasures." In other words, he says, age equals experience. Age equals experience, which leads to good behavior. So as I read that, I'm thinking, you know, Paul would probably be telling these old grandpas today, you know, act your age, you know. Don't buy that fancy sports car when you're, you know, 85, 9 years old. If you have an antique car, that's okay with me. Have those antique cars, they're great. But don't deny who you are. You know, don't dye your hair black or whatever. The next one he says is to be reverent. This is where we get the title reverend. It means honorable, serious, well-ordered in earthly life, having everything under control. Now, I know some pastors don't want to be called reverend or reverend because they believe it puts them above everybody else. In fact, when I was at my first church, I had an elderly lady. Here I was, just a young guy out of seminary. She called me Reverend Marty, and I had the hardest time, you know, putting those two things together. But as I got to know this lady, she was doing this out of respect and honor. out of respect and honor for the office of the of pastor. Then he says, sound in faith. Sound. This is a strong faith. It's a kind of faith that is healthy and uncorrupt. This is a type of faith in God that grows as you get older. Okay, that no matter what trial you may face, it will not shake you or move you. And if you have a grandparent who was raised in the faith, you might want to ask them how they handled tragedy in their life with some trial they're facing. You know, they will really give you some good advice, because our grandparents really, a lot of them have handled tragedy in ways that we can never imagine. And then James chapter 1 verse 3 talks about the word patience, and that goes along with sound faith. Because according to James, patience is that which grows only when you're under trial. That's what you need to have, is patience. So the next category that Paul addresses is the older women. And again, there's no mention of any age. When the Bible talks about older women, there's no age. So let's look at Titus 2, 3 to 5 and see what he says to them. It says, the older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. So here is where we get the word respect. The older women need to be respected as being teachers in the faith. And some of the qualities that, first of all, he says you shouldn't have is don't be slanderers. Now, what's a slander? A slander refers to false accusers. Slander is the same as the ninth commandment that says you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. So slander is malicious talk that's intended to destroy a person. Slander was a serious problem, and it is a serious problem today and in the church. In fact, the Bible tells us that Satan is the greatest slanderer of all. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. It says there, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before God day and night has been cast down. So Satan is the greatest slanderer of all, according to the Bible. So if someone is slandering another person, that means that that slander is on the same level as Satan, doing his destructive strategy and talk. Paul continues telling the older women what they need to do. Not given to much wine, self-explanatory there. Teachers of good things. Now, this refers to the teacher who teaches the things of God. It's not talking about, you know, a teacher, a higher education teacher, because any Christian older woman can be a teacher. In fact, I remember most of all as a child growing up in my home church, the one teachers I remember are the old lady teachers. I remember my kindergarten teacher, who had such a love for children, but there's just two things I remember about her. She had a love for children, and she had white hair. You know, it's just some of the things I remember. But most of all, she loved us as children. Verse 4, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children. Now, this speaks about how important love is in the home. And I can personally tell you that it is so nice to come home after a day of work and find a wife who loves me. It makes my life a lot better, and it's not just husbands, it's wives too. Wives need that love of the husband, you know, in the work that they do. If there is love in the home, that can lead to a much better life, a much happier life at work and other places. Paul continues to speak to the young woman here in verse 5. He says, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Now, that verse leads to what Paul says about the word of God. Paul says, don't discredit the word of God. Don't downplay the word of God in your life. The Bible tells the young women here, and these are the women who are married, to focus your time and energy on your home life. And this is where every family needs to seek the Lord for wisdom and direction, because we live in a society where we have the demands of job and career and the home life. And many parents, I'm sure, struggle between how much time do we spend at work and how much time do we spend at home. And for those of you who are single parents, that struggle is even harder, because you're the only one that has the income and you're the only parent who's home. At the same time, the Word of God is very clear, and this speaks to all of us, that your life at home needs to be your highest priority next to your relationship with God. And for those of you who are raised in a home where your mother was a stay-at-home mom like mine, we're blessed. You know, we need to be thankful for that stability in that home. But the times have changed. The times have changed. Families have changed. Families today are what I would call more complicated. There are more broken homes today. There are more children who have no parent in the home. And grandparents many times end up being the parents and end up watching their grandkids, and they kind of get worn out doing that as well. And people today, maybe some of the critics look at, you know, verse 5, where it says that wives are to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, obedient to their own husbands. Some might say that this is out of date. You know, this is, you know, we're living in 2019, not 1960. Yet the Apostle Paul clearly says, don't blaspheme the word of God. Don't refuse to live by the standards of God's word. Because as the Bible says in Isaiah 40, verse 8, the word of God, the word of our God, stands forever. The word of our God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, which tells us the word of God is for today. It is not old-fashioned. The values still apply today, even with families, as we see in today's text. Now Paul turns to the young men. Let's look what he says to the young men. Titus chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. And 8. Likewise, exhort the young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech. Here's the key. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. The one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say to you. As I read that, I thought, what a testimony that has. That is. If someone wants to discredit you as a young man, if someone wants to criticize you, if someone wants to condemn you, all you need to do is not only speak God's word, but live it. Live God's word. Titus says here, if you live your life according to God's standards, no one can bring a charge against you. Now, they might do their best to find one little thing. You know, everybody today is into, you know, finding something wrong with one person, anything. You know, it might be one little thing. But you just continue to live according to God's words and God's standards. And the Bible says no one will bring a charge against you. That is intended to be for the young men, but also, I'm sure, for others. One of the biggest teachings the Bible says we should all have is what I call spiritual authenticity. If you look at verse 7, he says, in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, and incorruptibility. Paul is telling Titus that you need to find leaders in the church who are spiritually mature, that they not only believe in the right things and the right doctrine, but that their walk reflects their Christian belief. That thought goes along with a popular saying. In fact, there's a song written with this theme that I would rather see a sermon than hear one anytime. You may have heard that. I would rather see a sermon than hear one anytime. That's saying, you know, you can't just say great sermons and not live out the sermons in your life. And I hear what they're saying. But to think about it, you actually need both. You need to hear a sermon, and you also need to live a sermon. Okay? An example of this is, I'm sure some of you, if you're encouraging someone to come to church, you may have heard this popular phrase, I don't come to church because of the hypocrites in the church. You know, how many times have you heard that? You know, they stay away from church because of the hypocrites. Well, when someone says that they don't come to church because of hypocrites, they're really basing their example on what hypocrites do. And, you know, you don't follow hypocrites. You follow the Lord Jesus Christ as your example. Let's give a hypothetical situation. Let's say that hypothetically we have a guy named Ted. Hypothetically, Ted may come to church for the first time, and he sits in on a Sunday school class. The Sunday school class teacher, let's just say his name is Pete. And he finds out that you know, he's saying that smoking is bad. So he goes back home, and he sees Pete light up a cigarette in the bowling alley. He says, I'm never going to go to church again because of what he did. Really, when you say that, you're basing your Christian faith on one person. See, what we all need to do is find out what the truth of God says on our own. That's our responsibility. We need to hear a sermon. I need to hear a sermon. And then we need to live it out in our lives. That's what we need to do. And on Grandparents' Day, I must give tribute to my own grandparents. I have two. They both passed away. My grandparents were godly men. One was a free minister and one was a deacon in the church. And they not only lived their life, they believed the right things, but they also lived it out as well. And on Grandparents' Day, I want to just give tribute to all of our grandparents this morning. The lives that our grandparents live are very special. I think of how many of our grandparents are looked up to and respected, and they should be. Because our grandparents have learned a lot over their years. They have seen a lot. Many of our grandparents have seen a lot in their years, and they have a story to tell. And as the sermon says, we need to listen to them, listen to their stories. Yet we also know that our grandparents are human. They have struggles, like the rest of us. They experience trials. And my aches and pains are probably the same as every grandparent today. They have that trial as well. But we find strength in the words of the Apostle Paul, and I'd like for us to read this verse together, these two verses together on the screen as we close. Let's hear what Paul says. Let's read this together. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That's a wonderful, wonderful way to hear what we're working on. William Barclay summarizes this verse by saying, and I quote, "Life is a climbing up of the hill that leads to the presence of God. No man or woman need fear the years, for they bring him nearer, not to death, but to God." So we all need the cross of Jesus Christ. For the cross is the power of God, which we all need. And may God bless all of our grandparents today. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you are Lord of the home. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us grandparents to give us, Lord, direction and wisdom in our lives. And I pray also for our grandparents today that you be with them in their struggles that they might have, whatever they may be. We pray that you would give them, Lord, your power, like the Apostle Paul says, that even though, Lord, our outward body, our outward lives may be going through struggles, our inward life, our spiritual life is being renewed day by day. And may we always, Lord, live with that power of the Holy Spirit, which is a strengthening our inner lives. And we give you, Lord, all the praise, honor, glory, for we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is in honor of Parents' Day, Lord of the Home, number 490. Would you stand, please? Benediction this morning is taken from 2 Timothy. Here Paul is given his younger pastor friend Timothy advice. It says, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men. You will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Amen.